Washington County EMS Alliance February 27th meeting started. Welcome everybody. James Samario, newly elected chair, first meeting. I appreciate any grace you could give me. I think we'll start with we have everybody identified in the meeting. We'll start with adoption of the agenda. We ever got a chance to look at it, and everybody's good with it. Make a motion.
This is Mira. I move to adopt the agenda.
This is Rob. I'll second.
Okay. We have the agenda adopted. Thank you. Okay. Review and approve of minutes from January 23rd meeting. Ira sent those out. Everybody got a chance to take a look at them. A lot of stuff in there. Anybody have any questions? If not, we'll take a motion to approve the January meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second. This is Mira.
All right, thank you. All right, do we have any public comments? Oh, anything received, Kira?
We do not have anyone signed up for public comment.
Okay, moving right through the agenda here. On to strategic planning. Last week, excuse me, this week, Tim, we had a meeting with the 911 transport contingency planning update. You want to kind of bring us up to speed?
Sure, and I'd actually offer Chief Weinman, kind of as the lead of that group, to chime in as well. So, given developments with AMR and their labor unit and the voting of the contract with the authorization of a potential strike. This group came back together. This is largely the same group that was assembled during the period of transition from Metro West to AMR, looking at service options should things go sideways and ambulance service degrade to a point of crisis. So given a potential for a labor issue and a degradation of service there, this group came back together, had a few new members, to again pull out that plan, take a look, update, and create anything new that's required, fill out the plan that we had previously to make it a little bit more robust, maybe an all hazards type of plan. So the first meeting was really just kind of bringing new folks up to speed, giving them some background understanding of how and why things were put in place as they were. And then our second meeting was a little bit more expanded with really all stakeholders involved, discussing things from planning through mitigation strategies, and then with an eye further down the road of recovery and all of those types of elements. I think we have a pretty good framework already together from the previous plan, with a lot of good ideas and updates from that last meeting. We'll have another meeting of that same group scheduled probably sometime next week. Chief Weinman, if you and I want to connect after this, maybe we can come up some dates, times to just keep that work going forward. The good news is, still fingers crossed that we had a kind of turn for the better with the negotiations and the labor teams at AMR, in that a strike is not impending. They're going back to the table. I don't want to steal AMR's thunder for their update. But we are going to continue planning in earnest just so that these plans are in place and we're not kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak. Chief Weinman, anything to add?
Yeah, Tim, great summary. Thank you. I just remind the group that this is a co-chaired activity and that Chief Samaro actually sits as the co-chair. He couldn't attend, so we had Ben Sorensen from TVFNR fill in that seat. Just a shout out to Ben. Thanks for his help. We really have two or three big homework assignments pending from that group. And so, again, just want to acknowledge Rob from AMR, McDonald from AMR, to go project some options that we're looking at from the AMR side of the shop, which he's doing. Larry Boxman and Metro West attended LinkedIn in that space. They're also working on some homework for some resource availability from their end, should that be a lever that we want to throw. So thank you, Larry and Metro West, for continuing to be part of the solution options. And then fire as a whole, we are reassessing our ambulance, fire-based ambulance availability, and we'll update that matrix and hopefully bring all of those parts and pieces together here at our next meeting. So super excited. Really appreciate everybody kind of bringing the team back together. And if anybody else has any thoughts or ideas that we haven't captured, please reach out to myself or Chief Samario or even Tim. Get your ideas out to us so that we can be sure to make sure that we're representing everybody's perspective. So that's all I have. And thank you again.
Thank you for the update. Sounds to me like this is something we want to keep on our agenda as we kind of move forward until we maybe get in a good place, and then we can holster it, put it back aside until we get it probably buttoned up. Maybe we want to keep having this on our agenda. That seems reasonable. Tim, Patrick, seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll add one Absolutely. Other update on the other thing that we can help do at the county level is kind of that worst case scenario. We can support with emergency declaration type things. So one of the things that I did outside of the contingency planning group is talk with our emergency manager to talk about what does that look like if the fire assets, the contracted assets, the local assets are not enough to meet our needs, and we need to try to support AMR in reaching outside of Oregon to bring in assets. A declared emergency at the governor's level helps remove some of the barriers for that. So I did meet with emergency management to kind of talk through how that might look so that we are not starting that conversation at the last minute. It should get to that level as well.
Great. Thank you.
And Chief, this is Larry Boxman. If I could jump in, the homework assignment was to see how many ambulances we would be able to produce. And so in looking at the rest of our family of companies within Oregon and, of course, Washington County, we're at 16 right now with a potential of two more. So we could be at 18. So that's our update.
Is that 18?
And that's a combination of BLS and BLS ambulances.
Thank you, Larry. Do you know the breakup of that combination?
So at this point, we're looking at it to be 10. So it's 10 ALS, 6 BLS. And that's worst case scenario. So we might be able to beef up some of those ALS or BLS into ALS.
We could button that all up in that other meeting and kind of get everybody's stuff together in that other meeting, then bring that forward next meeting, kind of the numbers that we have.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. All right. Any other discussion on
Rachel
that?
Rachel has his hand raised.
Who did? I didn't say. Over to Dr. Sonny.
Yeah, I was waiting patiently and quietly. It's not like me. Just one comment. I did talk to Mo about this so that we were on the same page medical direction wise. I also spoke to Rob McDonald, but from a medical direction perspective, the real question is if there are workers coming in from outside, just making sure that they're credentialed. AMR has this travel medic program. Now they all go through the new employment process that AMR does. They all meet with me very briefly. They all get checked off on all the same skills that through Nate Chakwa. So I think if we run a risk of less experienced providers without some of the advanced skills that we expect, we could end up with a situation where some advanced skills such as rapid sequence airway or delayed sequence airway would not be available to somebody. So just so everybody knows that that could be possible.
Thank you, Dr. Sani. Make sure I'm not missing any hands. Apologize for that. Okay, see no hands. We'll wrap up this topic and put over the agenda after the group meets, and then have an update next meeting. Okay, moving on to work group reports. We've got Jack here for the data work group. Have any updates for us, Jack?
Yeah, I thought I'd give an update, and then we could sort of kick off a bit of a discussion about the DUA in general. And I'm sure you all know, but for those that don't know, the DUA is basically a document to formalize a lot of the informal data exchanges that are going on as we speak. It's to add some legal protections and streamline the process for future quality improvement, but it's also to sort of codify the sort of daily data exchanges that have been going on for years between county and agencies and that kind of thing. It's been out for a few months. There have been two drafts. We gave it an informal deadline, I think, of last week to get feedback into us. And we got a lot of really, really great, tremendous feedback from everyone. From the feedback, we've identified two primary concerns. The first was found by TVFNR, so thanks to you guys for doing that. And that's that there's some conflict and a contradiction between Section 3 and Section 4. I think some of the old language from version 1 has crept into the new version. And that old language was that partners agree to disclose record-level data for all cases to the county, whereas the revised language adds some discretion. The agencies can kind of pick and choose what they can add. So that caused, I think, a lot of the debate last month was on the scope of it. And I think it was that language that had crept into the second version. Further down, it's in Section 4, it kind of clarifies it a bit more, so we can call that out. Another recurring theme we've had is that there's just concern across a lot of agencies about the scope of it. It's very open-ended, and that came from a desire to sort of pave the way and streamline quality improvement data for years ahead and kind of connect everyone together and things. But we thought we're not quite at that point yet, so we could call out the exact QI processes that the data is for, and that might be a way of mitigating some of these concerns. I mean, I'm sure you're all aware, we have an EMS quality improvement, like a clinical quality improvement group that looks at typically like stroke, STEMI, cardiac arrest, and a variety of other things. So in the document, we could actually mention those things and say on an annual basis, we're going to ask for these things to be sent to the county, and then we're going to do some research on it and some QI work and things like that. And then we could build in a process for a sort of placeholder thing in the agreement where, as the QI group decides topics for the year, there's a process for the group to, by consensus, agree to new topics. Like 2026, we might look at pediatric trauma or OB stuff or that kind of thing. So, but we agree by consensus, and then everybody would know what the county was working on. There wouldn't be any surprises. There wouldn't be any kind of worry about nefarious data sharing going on and that sort of thing. So that's one possible solution. We're gonna form a meeting in a couple of weeks or a week, whatever schedules allow, of the data working group to kind of go through all this. And that's an offshoot of this group, the Alliance, so that group can kind of report up here, which is part of what this briefing is. And you guys can all be in the loop there. But to call those out might be one way around this issue of just how big the scope is. And so we thought that might be an idea. I mean, like, we can leave it at that, or if that's a good point to sort of to discuss the DUA in more detail, go for it. That's the update, but we'll be having a meeting of the data working group pretty soon to kind of go through this, and then we can come back to you at the next meeting with how people feel about it. Any comments or thoughts? I think, Mo, you've put something in the chat.
Yeah, sorry, I joined in late. So I think with most, I think the goal would be to have defined data durations, not just topics, but also duration. So that's what I would recommend, is that you send what you need when it's needed.
Sounds good. I'll make a note for that.
Yeah, and just to add a little specificity too to what Jack was noting about the county QI group. The group is made up of representatives of all the EMS agencies in the county. So when he says, you know, kind of what the county is doing with the data for QI, really it's what all of the other partner agencies that are part of that group and involved in that particular topic review. So kind of when we set our agenda for the year, we think of topics and those that are interested in that particular topic, like Jack mentioned, pediatric trauma, or, you know, eclampsia, preeclampsia, those things. There's kind of working groups, same as we do here at the Alliance. We have some working groups. So it's not, you know, just the county. It's all of us just under the umbrella of the county QI.
Jack, have you heard back from everybody then, or obviously you heard back from us?
Mostly, yeah, I think I've mostly heard back from everyone. I haven't gone through the list. I can't quite recall, but most of them for sure. And there were some varying details, and some agencies were really specific, which was really, really helpful.
Okay, so hearing that, what do you think the next steps are? You're going to have your meeting with that group and then kind of
maybe... Yeah, that... They'll decide on language, and then we can run it back to the lawyers and keep you all updated here if that works for everyone. I'm not sure the timeline on that, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Jack and the data work group? All right. See no hands raised, no voices. Governance document work group. Anybody have anything to report on that?
Nope.
Okay, seeing no hands and hearing no feedback, I'll move to system stewardship. I was unfortunately not able to be there this week. So Tim, I think you can speak to it. I've also, Ben's here with me. So if he needs to add anything, you can go there.
Yeah, it was amazing just how efficient we were in that meeting this past week. I mean, I don't know what the difference was, but take that as it is. We did cover a lot of good ground, I think. You know, kind of building on the work that we had done the previous meeting. So for this group, it's kind of a two-headed group where we're looking at system enhancement funding and kind of dispersal and utilization of that. And also a financial stewardship component where we're looking for, you know, other innovative revenue potentials, grant funding opportunities, things that we can utilize to help, you know, move things forward in the EMS system. We've been largely focused on the System Enhancement Fund, building some framework of, you know, exactly what does that look like. We haven't quite gotten to where the money comes from yet. But we're building some structure in, you know, what types of things would qualify, what are we looking for, you know, what's the process for requests, what's the process for, giving out the funds, how do we track progress, what's the measures of success, those types of things. We have a draft document that we're working on that identifies several system elements that could be potential areas for enhancement projects. And then have a list of questions, kind of benchmarking of, does it meet the level of our expectation to qualify for system enhancement funding? And we also discussed development of an application of sorts so that somebody that's requesting funding for whether it's video laryngoscopes, or we even have things maybe that are more professional development related, as in, going to conferences, those types of things, as long as that can be brought back and utilized by the system for the betterment of patient care, not out of the question to look at. So talking about, you know, what that looks like in terms of an application process, what's the steps then that we as the group takes, and then kind of moving through the process that way. We've only had two meetings, I think it is. But I think we have some pretty good stuff already down on paper. Chief Sorensen, anything to add?
No, Tim, that was a really great summary. I will totally agree. It was a great meeting. I think we picked the ball up and we made a lot of progress down the field on that one. So a lot more work to do, but it was a really great start.
Great, great to hear that it was efficient. And, you know, I'm not blushing. I'm actually sunburned. Sorry, I couldn't be there. All right. Anything else? Any questions for the system stewardship work group? Okay. Last work group, resource management. I was there for that one. So what do we got here?
Just as efficient.
Thank you, Mo. Dr. Dye, you got a comment there, share the opportunity equally. Yep. I think that's kind of what we're talking about as a group, right? The great opportunities for other people that maybe don't have them, creating some quality. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Resource management. We talked a few different ideas a meeting ago, or two meetings ago, I guess I should say. And in that, there's a module from First Watch called RIDES. It's a risk identification for emergency services. They came to our meeting and presented the product. I think, and I'll just speak for me, takeaway was this really creates some, essentially some quantitative data to show BLS versus ALS and some resource management concepts. So I was impressed by the tool they had. I'm not sure if we really landed. We were going to wait, hear back some costs from them. I think it's potentially something that we could have them share with this group. If there's enough questions around it for the funding mechanisms in the future. But I was impressed by the product and it took our entire meeting. So Tim, I'll kind of turn it over to you and get your thoughts as well from that.
I agree. I'm trying to multitask here. I added in some dot points to the chat that First Watch sent us, kind of giving that probably 1,000-foot view of the product. This is something that I looked at their conference last year. Dr. Dye was there as well and able to take a look. It is an interesting product, and it does exactly as Chief Mario mentioned. It takes real call data, and you can then model changes in an environment that is low risk. So it's not taking your data and going through a PDSA cycle of let's make this little change, test it in a live environment, see what happens, and kind of keep stepping down that iterative process with this module. And it's not like a system-wide thing. It's really kind of dispatch-based. But you can kind of do the same thing where you have a lot of real-time call data, historical data, EHR data, that kind of feeds this product, and you can model changes. So as we think about our tiered system, it's been a big project and a big lift for Alyssa and myself, the county, and Dr. Dye and his team at WACA and their QI, trying to figure out what call types could have a BLS response, maybe a BLS ambulance only response, those types of things. And looking at this product, that is a, let's just change the parameter as it's listed here, hit go, and it creates a model of, kind of how many calls would be then classified as those things, et cetera. So there seems to be, a lot of utility to it. But again, it does have a cost with it. So that's something that we'd have to measure against kind of system impact and usefulness.
And have you heard back from them, Tim?
Not yet, just to get those dot points. And it sounds like sometime this week they'll have that costing plan. And if not, I'll send them a friendly reminder.
But any questions for that? It's kind of ambiguous, I imagine, if you're sitting there and you didn't get to see it. We're just talking about it. But yeah, it I take the calls and look and tell you BLS, ALS, and it's pretty impressive. I felt it was anyway. Okay, so we move forward in some discussions and get some more data back from them, some better understanding. Maybe we can, it might be worth, I think they could probably cover it in 10 minutes with this group if we think, if we recommend it as a work group to bring it forward to the Alliance. And maybe just put them on a tight leash and say, hey, you got 10 minutes to walk everybody through this. So maybe that's something we can look forward to in the future. So more to come from the resource management work group. Any other thoughts pop up with the work groups, why this conversations were happening? Seeing none, hearing none. Okay, we'll move on to four. We got the agency updates round robin. Start out with EMS. And that looks like Adrian.
Yeah, I think that my big update, and a few people in this room know it's in every meeting I'm in at this point, is on Tuesday, Nurse Navigator goes live. That's that I am personally quite excited about that. Tim and I went to the county commissioners on Tuesday and presented it as an education opportunity for them to kind of understand what was happening. And I'll put the link to that in case anybody wants to see that. And our website is live now as well. I'll link to that too in just a minute. So we are kind of full on really working on the getting the messaging out. We are waiting for a few translated things to come back from GMR, and then we'll do some email pushes as well. So folks have it in case any of you have newsletters or groups or anything, just to push it out, because the information is really meant for general community awareness. And so it really just needs to be pushed as far as it can be. So that, I would say, that was our big update right now. And a lot of my attention is going towards that. And super kudos to all of you who have been on work groups for the last 6 months, and to Waka, who I know just did a test call as well, as a lot of work to get ready to roll this out. So thanks to everyone. I think this will be real, real good for the system. And I don't know if Tim, Melissa, or Jack have anything else they want to update today or not.
Just thanks, especially to Dr. Dye and Waka, again, kind of trying to find where Nurse Navigator fits into the APCO cards. And that was a pretty big lift. So kudos to them.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Hillsborough Fire.
I don't have anything, but I'll check with Chief Espinosa or Tanner to see if they have anything.
Nothing from my side. I just appreciate the meetings we've had recently with all the parties. I appreciate everyone's coming to the meeting ready to chat. So that's it.
Nothing from me, Chief. Thank you.
All right, we've got, thank you. We've got Forest Grove Fire and Cornelius Fire. So Chief Wyman, if you wanna give us an update, maybe our Chief Fearing's on here as well. Go ahead, Chief Fearing.
Y'all, to steal Patrick's thunder here, we're working with the attorney that works for the city on the data sharing agreement, and whatever we are advised to do here in Forest Grove will apply in Cornelius. So. We missed an opportunity, or I should say I missed an opportunity this week to sit down and talk to the attorney regarding the review. So hopefully next week. But anyway, it's in the works. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. A little bit of an awkward spot for me as far as Cornelius. I know Chief Morris is on here. I'm not sure what space you're in with that. If you have anything between Gaston and Cornelius you'd want to provide the group. Sorry to put you on the spot.
No problem at all. I don't have anything to report for either agency at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. TVFNR, we're working through the data agreement stuff. Well, thank you, Jack, for the feedback. And we'll continue to kind of provide stuff from our side. As an agency, we did deploy our ARM unit through the Quality Cares Fund and the Oregon Department of Human Services grant. That has not taken off like a bolt of lightning like we hoped it would. So It is getting a few calls here and there. We're continuing to kind of navigate that. So that's about all I have for me. Chief Sorensen, you got anything?
I don't think anything to add.
Yep. Dr. Dye, you got anything you want to add to TBF&R side?
I do. We had a wonderful survivor breakfast on this past Saturday. We celebrated, I think, 19 or 20 cardiac arrest survivors. It was a well-attended meeting, the breakfast at the 12 Country Golf Club. So I want to thank TVFNR for putting that on. It's a wonderful event that recognizes some of our work in the sudden cardiac arrest space. And we highlighted some showcase stories from the district. So thank you.
Hey, Banks, Chief Lentz on here. No. Okay. Medical directors. I guess we'll go back to you, Dr. Dia.
I just want to thank both Forest Grove and Banks and Cornelius for helping out with some pediatric simulation that we did last week with a group from OHSU and also from Harvard. So I want to thank them for their resources and time and effort to actually help the team that's developing an app to sort of improve care for pediatric cardiac arrest and make cognitive offloading easier. So I want to thank those three agencies. Thank you.
Dr. Sani?
I don't think I really have any other medical director news. Just in case everybody doesn't know, probably you all do, but the Providence nurses strike is over. I'll be going to my first shift with my real nurses as soon as we're done here. So that did provide some stress to the system, but hopefully that will improve.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's good news. All right. AMR. Rob, start with you.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Thanks, Chief Mario. Good afternoon, everybody. Just to provide you guys really an update, but no update on the labor side. The one probably new piece of information folks may not know is we've locked down 2 days, March 10th and 11th, where we'll be out in the area there. We're bringing everybody in, so this is all in-person negotiations back at the table with every intention of finding some common ground and getting the contract back out to the union workforce to vote on. As far as some of the task items Chief Weinman referred to, I've done a little bit of that research, and we're also initiating a partnership with a outfit out of Australia. It's interestingly enough, we struggle with paramedics in the United States, whereas they have a glut of them and they can't get jobs. So these are all degreed folks, often 4-year degreed folks. Their program in Australia is a little different. And we're working with an agency to bring those folks over on visas for 2-year work agreements. So that's just started, and I've really started to kind of explore it aggressively on the off chance that things devolve in Washington County. We still have relationships with an outfit called Best Practice Medicine, as well as our own internal regional paramedic response that we're initiating with what's called SOS internally at GMR. As far as getting data and numbers to our work group, it's hard still for me to say where we'll be as it relates to crossing of a picket line. We believe that there's quite a few folks that would in the event of a strike, but it's hard for us to really nominally determine what that's going to be. Outside of that, our commitment's pure. We're going to keep everybody informed as we go through that second week in March. If things go well or go poorly, this group will know first, probably before most.
Thank you. Jen, do you have anything you want to add from just Washington County? AMR?
Sure. Just some exciting news. 5 of our EMTs who have been going through paramedic school have either already or will be graduating in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be sending some brand new medics out to the field to start field training here soon.
And Chief, if I could dovetail on that, there's also a really positive development happening in Washington County that the trend line has really started to improve from the beginning of the year. And Jen's business unit now in operations is very, very close to full contract compliance.
with response times. That is a huge win. We have a lot of work to do to get over the final little hump, but I'm very encouraged by what she's done with her team and finding the efficiencies and how best to run within the Washington County EMS system. So bravo to Jen.
Great news. Thank you. All right, WACA, I see Mark's on here.
Let me, I'll first give an opportunity, Monique, if you want to share any updates, I'll let you go first.
No, I don't really have anything. Jennifer Reese and Christine did the nurse navigator testing this morning.
Oh, yeah, I see Jennifer. Jennifer, if you wanted to share how the test went and...
Yeah, so good afternoon. Test went well. We tested both making a 911 call and getting transferred down to Nurse Navigator, and then them calling back into us. We tested sending two calls to them at the same time, two calls coming back to us at the same time. We have three line appearances, so we could take two calls back to us plus another call to a supervisor. So we wanted to make sure that there wasn't just one appearance where there might be a possibility for a busy signal. So everything went well. We made simultaneous transfer calls down to Nurse Nav. They had people down there waiting for the testing. So all that worked great. And so I think we are ready to go. I know that Tammy, before she went on vacation, she made sure the EMD cards were ready. They're all updated. They've got, I believe, eight of the EMD card holders ready to go. So we'll deploy those Tuesday morning. So they'll be out on the floor and then they'll finish out the remaining 16, because we have 24 positions to get all that updated. So I think we're set.
Jennifer, could you say what, I think in a meeting I heard you say 9 o'clock or somebody said 9 o'clock. Do you know what time it's going live?
I believe it was 8 a.m. Let me look just really fast. I have this handy dandy filing system in my email and it's super long now. I'll have to find it. I'll find it and I'll let you know. I thought it was 8 a.m., but I'll confirm that and let you know.
Well, I would have been with you, Adrian, and I thought it was 9. So, but we'll definitely have to get an email out on that one. Anything else you can think of, Jennifer?
No, not for me.
I just touching base as we monitor the work that the Patrick and James, the work group on updating. If there were to be a strike, we'll be ready to try to figure out what modifications need to be made for the CAD system to support that situation. I think we're also following the transition for Cornelius and be able to support whatever needs programming, whatever is required to get that going. Chief Morris, I know he's keeping us posted, so we'll support whatever's necessary there. And that's about it. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you. Hey, Mark, can you real quick kind of touch on your recruitment numbers? Because I think...
Oh, sure. The main thing in the hopper is we have, mainly for the call takers and dispatchers, we have five in background. They've got conditional offers. We're just completing their background in psych and targeting them late next month, I think, just from the timing to get all those done. But we're hoping to bring on five. So far, so good. But I do know sometimes it doesn't work out the best. But that's our situation right now. And we have, to help out on the HR side, we have wrapping up a background for an out-of-state candidate. So we got to wrap up the background. And then once they get the green light, they got to give notice and then make the move transition. But we're hoping to fill that as a key support to Jennifer Kilcoyne on all the work on recruiting. But that's the status at the moment.
Yeah, you guys put quite some effort into that recruiting stuff. You've seen some positive numbers, right? As far as applicants.
Say that again?
You, with your recruitment efforts, you've seen an uptick in applicants?
Yeah, a handful of things. You know, we work with one of our vendor partners to develop some online video and stuff that's helped the recruitment. So the numbers, I would say, over the last 6 months in the recruiting process, the starting candidate pool has been higher, and that is helpful. I think I'd love to see it double that, but it has been helpful. And so we're getting a little broader starting group, which, of course, you know how it goes, but by the time you narrow down, if you don't hit those numbers, but it is getting better. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. It's getting better. We're seeing a few other changes that are helping to make things better too. So, yeah.
Great news. Thank you, Mark. And last, Larry Boxman, Metro West.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, just to carry on the same theme, so recruiting, we continue to improve our numbers as well, both paramedics and EMTs, and so things are going well. Other than the information I gave previously regarding additional resources we could provide if requested, that's about the end of the report.
Thank you, Larry. All right, that wraps up section four of our agenda, and section five is good of the order. Any public comments or anything good of the order anybody wants to bring to the table?
I have a quick question. I'm just curious, Tim or Adrian, if the county's putting up a notice for the nurse navigator just to pass along to first responders. I know they'll want to, I mean, we can come up with something. I'm just curious if there's a generic document we can send to crews so they know what to expect.
No, but that's a really good idea. Ours is all more general public focused, and that will be coming out in the next day or so. Again, waiting for a document from GMR. But I think that's a good, I'll work with Tim. We'll get something out for the providers.
Always good when they're all on the same page. Otherwise, they come up with their own error.
we will have one of the documents that's coming from GMR is a business card. I don't think I've seen the final version of that yet, but it might be helpful for providers to have a handful of too. We could look at printing some of those. I'll share the digital files when we have everything so everyone can see them, and we can look at if any of them are useful to have more to pass out as well. But we'll get a provider notice.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark, you got a question? Comment? Maybe?
Yeah, Chief, I just want to take a moment to say how efficient and effective this meeting has been run today.
Duly noted, Mark. Thank you very much.
He must want something.
Yeah, I will throw one out for the group here. Our next meeting is March 27th. Depending on where you're at in life, you may have spring break and kids. So I kind of want to see, get a pulse of the group. Or we want to reschedule that? Do we want to cancel it? Or do we want to continue marching on? It's open for discussion.
I'll say rescheduling is usually a nightmare with all of your calendars. Right now, we don't have anything rolling out that might need urgent meeting time. Of course, the AMR union stuff is always out there for a little bit longer. But so I would definitely go towards canceling rather than trying to reschedule.
Okay, everybody else, I concur with that, but everybody else in support of that? Looking for a response. Thank you.
I'm supportive.
Okay. I see some thumbs up.
I'd actually like to add another meeting.
Yeah. Well, I figure the work groups are still going to be meeting. Those things are still going to stay moving along. So let's cancel the meeting on the 27th of March, and then we'll pick back up in our April meeting.
If we do that.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Then brought up Nurse Nav, if there is an update, do we just want to maybe do that through a communication email? to the county then, I guess, or WACA, just to keep everybody in tune with Nurse Nav update, because we won't be having our March meeting. So
yeah, we can put together some kind of update that includes an update with the DUA and those kind of things, so that we're moving things forward in lieu of a meeting.
Okay, perfect. All right, nobody has anything else. We'll wrap up today's meeting. It's 1:48, get a few minutes back. All right, well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day. Bye, everybody.